All right, let me get to your Super Bowl Sunday. How many know every Sunday is Super Bowl for us here? Hallelujah. And it's the devil 0 and God's people. Amen. 101. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Got your Bibles? Turn with me to Proverbs. Proverbs, the third chapter. When you get it, if you'd stand with me, as we honor the author once again. Proverbs, the third chapter, verses 9 and 10. Hallelujah. All right, Proverbs 3. I want to just focus on three words, the first three words. It says this, honor the Lord. Somebody said with me, honor the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today. You have sent your word and you healed us, everyone. We thank you for the wonderful healing of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for healing us, spirit, soul, and body. We thank you, Father, for making us well, keeping us well. We thank you, Father, for your healing right now. Father, speak to us. Thank you for what you're doing for us, in us, and through us in this hour. Really, as that one insert said, with the culture shock that is going on in our world today at this coming, as we behold, as we look forward to the coming of the Lord in these end times. We thank you now for helping us. We thank you. This is the greatest time of the world, although it is also the most difficult. But I thank you, it's the greatest time for the church. And I thank you for each one today. Speak to us now, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. You may be seated in his presence and relax. Hallelujah. Today, I want to continue with our God-given theme for 2016. We know it's victory, victory, victory. Luke 6:38, we want to again give, and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. And with the measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. Tell the one next to you, it shall be given to you. Yeah, now tell them again, and like you mean it, tell them it shall be given you. Tell them, and look at them one more time and say, for all you've given. Mm-hmm. For all you've given. We got some givers in the house here. I said we got some givers in the house here. Whew. I felt the Holy Ghost when I said that. We just need to recognize that. Amen. Just for a moment. Can I stop just for a second there? Just to say how much I appreciate and God appreciates. And I'm sure your families and others, and some may have not recognized it yet or have been able to be in a place to appreciate it like they should. But I want to tell you, every one of you here today I know is a tremendous giver and has been. Amen. Yeah. Turn to someone one more time. Just say thank you for giving. Thank you for all you're giving. Thank you. Look at him again. Just say, no, really, thank you for all you're giving. Thank you. God bless you. I mean it from the bottom of our hearts. Thank you. I don't have to know all about your life. I don't have to know all about you. I just know that you cannot have come to this place. Some of you have families, children, most of you, and have not given and given and given and given again. Amen. Amen. God, I just feel like just wants you to know that he's seen it and he's been pleased with it. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm feeling his presence because I just feel like a lot of times you don't get much thanksgiving. You know what I'm talking about? You just keep giving and giving and giving, and it just seems like, and it just things require more and more and more and more, and it's almost, God, you know, when will it be given back? So you see, God's a reasonable God. He said, given, it shall be given. And so we're all focusing, the Lord is focusing, Holy Spirit, on it shall be given. Amen. We want to remember Brother Eddie, too. He's having cataract surgery. I believe somebody told me next week. Amen. 17th. We're looking forward to, not looking forward to that, but looking forward to God's blessing him and his eyesight there. Amen. Remember him in prayer as he gets ready for that. Praise God. Well, God bless all you givers. Hallelujah. How many are ready for it to be given to you? I know you are. I said, I know you are. I know you are, and God is ready to bring it back to you. Not just bring it back, but to bring it back, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Are you ready for that? Are you really ready for God to give you a pressed down, shaken together, running over blessing? Well, this is the year for it. It's a year for victory. It's a year for God to get it back to you. Oh, the enemy likes to hold it back. He likes to mess things up. We know about that, don't we? Yeah, we're in a real world. There's a God and the devil. There's the flesh. There's this and that. There's good and evil, but God is God. Amen. And there's none like him. And God will have his way. Amen. And if he said this shall be given, well, I'll take that to the bank, praise God. I've confessed that every day. Hallelujah. Who was it? Abraham confessing the things which are not as though they were. And see, we're on the positive side. Can I take a moment? God showed me something this week, though I hadn't considered. We're on the good side of that. But there is a world that we are in today that is on the not so good side of that. Because it shall also be given as much of that has been given. And some of what has been given in our world is not good. Are you hearing me? America has given much, but some has not been good. And so this thing cuts both ways. I'm glad we're on the good side. Whew. That's something to shout about. I could just close the service. We'd just go home and get happy. And thank God I'm on the good side. Because there is a side that's not so good. And it shall be given to those who do not love God, who hate God, and who do not obey God, do not honor God. And so we have to prepare ourselves because we are seeing, amen, we are having to live with the reality of a world that has gone insane. Come on. A world that is getting ready for the Antichrist while we're getting ready for the Christ. Are you hearing me? We'll talk a little bit more. Amen. But we have much to look forward to. And I'm so glad we're on the winning side, aren't you? I said, I'm glad you're on the winning side. Hallelujah. So today we want to continue with this God-given theme, and I want to pick up this morning just a few thoughts that God impressed me with some weeks ago with the message from our Southern California Youth Director, Rocky Munoz, Rocky and Nancy. They shared a few weeks ago from his message called Honor. Some of you will remember it, amen? And just to recap just a little as we launch out further into the deep in obedience and to honor our Lord's command in Luke 5:4, as it was to Peter, he said, to launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. A draught means a big catch, in his case, a fish. Living Bible says, the translation says, now go out. Jesus said, now go out where it's deeper and let down your nets and you will catch a lot of fish. But Peter said to the Lord, he said, he was a professional fisherman. He said, Lord, we've toiled, we've worked hard all night and we didn't catch a thing. I may have worked hard and haven't got much for it. Come on. Not like you should have. Amen. Amen. He said, we didn't catch a thing, but nevertheless, if you say so, we'll try again. Amen. The point is they needed to go a little deeper. Somebody say a little deeper. The fish were a little. How many know Jesus knows where the fish are? And if he tells you to go a little deeper and calls you to go a little deeper, don't be afraid to go a little deeper. Sometimes in our humanness, we want to hold on to the side of the pool. Come on. We want to hold on to the seashore. The ocean, to me, is a very ominous place. Yeah, I remember as a little guy, 5, 6 years old, we were in a little rowboat out in the Pacific Ocean, and Mom and Dad were in the rowboat, and if you knew my mom, she was a very emotional person, and somehow the rowboat got away, and the waves came, and we were about ready to go over. That had pushed us in, and we looked up, and there was a Coast Guard getting ready to pull us back out to safety. Yeah. Well, needless to say, as a 5, 6-year-old, I was scared to death. Amen. Mama's yelling her head off. Daddy, he's just trying to, you know, stay cool. Amen. And so it was quite an experience. So how many have a good respect for the ocean? Some people don't like it at all. Amen. You just stay away from it. But I have a good respect for it. Amen. But he said, launch out a little deeper. Amen. Launch out and let down your nets. And so the point is here, go a little deeper. And really, the simple message of that message to Peter was try again. Amen. Tell somebody else to try again. Yeah, try again. Don't be afraid to try again. Amen. Even though you may not have caught anything and have worked all night, don't be afraid to try again. Amen. Honor. Everything positive and good starts with honor. And everything negative and not so good starts with dishonor. Amen. Rocky shared, to the degree that we honor God and his word, comes a small or a partial or a full reward. And he talked about the word honor speaks of full reward. And he used the illustration of quarters, a quarter worth of honor, or a $100 bill worth of honor. And, of course, we wanted the $100 bill. Amen? Hallelujah. Yeah, we're not dumb. And so full reward. God wants to give us a full reward with the honors. We honor him in his word. And he said this. He said that honor originates, he went on to share, from the heart in deeds and words and thoughts. Amen. We either honor or dishonor with deeds, words, and thoughts. Uh-huh. And I can tell you this. If things are not working and things are out of whack, I'm not saying everything. You can't blanket everything. But I tell you what, it'd be a good idea to go back and find out where dishonor came in, where somebody yelled or screamed or talked ugly. How many know all that's dishonor? We have to be careful how we talk. Amen. Talk to one another and the way we treat one another. It's either honorable or it's dishonorable. Come on. Yeah, yeah. And so Rocky began that, and the Lord began to speak to me about it, and I want to just share a few thoughts with you about that. He also shared it originates in the heart, and that honor changes lives and opens doors. Amen. Jesus said in Matthew 15:8 and Mark 7:6, he said, this people, talking to the Israelites, say the Jews, they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And how many know that's not true just with the Israelites or the Jews? People come in church like this every Sunday morning, hundreds by the thousands, and they honor me with their lips, but their heart is somewhere else. Their heart is not really in it. Amen. And so Jesus was alluding to that fact. And in 1 Samuel 2:27 through 30, God talks to the high priest there, Eli. Remember Eli and little Samuel? Eli had a couple sons. I believe it was Hophni and Phinehas. How many know I would never name my sons Hophni and Phinehas? Sounds a little country, don't it? I don't want to put anything country. Country people are beautiful. Amen. But I'm a city boy. But anyhow, God bless all you country folk. You got your Bible? Can you turn there real quick? I just want us to look at something. Him and his two sons here in this honor thing. Amen. 1 Samuel, the second chapter. 1 Samuel 2. When you've got it, say, I've got it. If you can't find it, say, wait a minute. If you don't think you'll ever find it, just close the book and look on somebody else's thing. Forget it. Amen. Hallelujah. Don't stress me out, Pastor. I've had a hard week. Amen. I don't need any more stress on Sunday morning. Come on. All right. All right. I'm not here to stress you out. I'm here to ask God to help me bless. Be a blessing. Amen. Are you there? The eye gate and the ear gate, they work together better than just the ear gate. Amen. If you have it, fine. If you don't, just listen. That'll be fine. Verse 27 says this, and there came a man of God unto Eli and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, did I plainly appear unto the house of thy father when they were in Egypt in Pharaoh's house? And did I choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest and to offer upon mine altar, to burn incense, to wear an ephod before me? And did I give unto the house of thy father all the offerings made by fire of the children of Israel? And ephod was something where you could tell the will of God. That's something else we go to that at a later time. Verse 29, wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice? That's an interesting phrase there, is it not? Wherefore, why are you kicking at my sacrifice? Or why are you so greedy for all the offerings which are brought to me? So why are you kicking at the sacrifice and at mine offering which I have commanded in my habitation, in the temple there, and honorest thy sons above me? That's a statement. God accuses the high priest of honoring his sons above him. And to make yourselves fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of Israel, my people. Why have you honored your sons more than me? For you and they have become fat from the best of the offerings of my people. Therefore I, the Lord God of Israel, saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever, but now the Lord saith, be it far from me. God changed his mind. He had to change his mind because of the dishonor here. Are you seeing that? Honor is a big thing. Amen. I said honor is a big thing. You don't think it is? Listen to your kids and when you were growing up. They talk about being dissed, disrespected, dishonored. You know, talking about your mama and stuff. You know, that always causes a fight. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, honor is a big thing, no matter what age you are. Verse 30 is saying there, be it far from me, For them that honor me, what? What does it say? I didn't hear you. I heard a couple of people. For them that honor me, I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. He says, it is ridiculous, in the Bible, to think that what you are doing can continue. I will honor only those who honor me, and I will despise those who despise me. Amen. Wow, that's just straight on, isn't it? So this honor thing is a big thing. Amen. And a few weeks ago, also, the Holy Spirit, through Minister Michael Medesis and focused on the lifestyle, and also through our deaconess last week, focused on the lifestyle of the believer, and God has been focusing on that by the Spirit, and how sometimes we have to make a few adjustments in our lifestyle to follow wisdom. I mean, no, God is calling us to make some adjustments in my lifestyle. There's a word in your bulletin about that. Make some adjustments. And it's going to be important because of what we're heading into in our world. Our lifestyle must become and be the lifestyle of the believer, which we claim to be. Are you with me? We cannot be a believer and have a lifestyle of the unbeliever. In other words, lifestyle is the way we do things, the way we think about things. God wants us to be a Christian. Hallelujah. Christ-like. He wants us to be like him. Because, see, there's blessing with that. There's cursing with the other. Are you hearing me? And I don't know about you, I want to be on the blessing side. Amen. Because there's a whole lot of stuff going on in our world, is there not? Thank God for his promises to us. So sometimes God is calling us, even now, to make some adjustments in our lifestyle so we can follow wisdom. We may have to say no to too much activity and so on. Amen. I didn't get too many amens on that, but that's okay. We see from the Word of God how important the honoring of the Lord is. How many know the honor? The Bible says to honor your mother and your father. It is the first commandment with promise, so that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. You dishonor and don't honor your mother and father, your life will be cut short. Are you hearing me? Some people have left and gone, died this year, and I tell you why. I know one specifically that died. You don't know her, but I know there was a, I'll leave it there, died because they dishonored her mother. I mean dishonored and dishonored, even if the mother tried to find out what was wrong, dishonored, just no longer here today. I'm not saying she wasn't saved. I'm not saying she isn't in heaven, but I'm telling you, her life was cut short because she dishonored mother. And you say, well, I didn't have honorable parents, man. They didn't deserve any honor or respect. They were whatever they were. I identify with that. I thank God for the day I heard a preacher say, if you can't honor for anything else, honor that God got your daddy and your mama together and you got here. Hallelujah. I honor them for that. And I thank God that I wasn't aborted. Amen. So there's something to honor and thank God for. You can't thank God for anything else. But don't dishonor them. Amen. You want to live long? I do. Amen. And so we see here from God how important honoring the Lord is and honoring one another, and always has been, but especially now in this economic climate that we are all facing. Amen? We could talk about the interpersonal relationships and how important honor is and how we talk and what we do to one another. And I can tell you, if you ever get a relationship back on track, you have to go back where you dishonored and start honoring. Amen? Yeah. Okay, that's not where we're going this morning. Aren't you glad? Hallelujah. Thank you. I'm trying, bless God. Let's talk about economic. God is concerned about our economics. Amen? He's also concerned about our personal relationship, but let's focus on economics. Amen. Because I feel led to focus on the economic culture and the times which we're in and facing on a daily basis. I know you all know what I'm talking about. We're talking about M-O-N-E-Y. Money, honey. Amen. Hal Lindsey, author of the bestseller, The Late Great Planet Earth, said recently, participants in something called the World Economic Forum were in a high stake of alarm over the world's economy. The worst case scenario they discussed in 2015 seemed to be coming true in 2016. The economic gloom of recent years came as a surprise to many of them at that conference. They thought that technology would provide a wealth of new sustainable jobs for the whole world that in turn would give them more paying customers. Are you with me? But that hasn't been working. In 1987, economist Robert Solow said, that name, Solow, so high, I better leave his name alone, but he can't help what his name is, can he? Yeah, he can't help that. I'm minor and God's major. See, God knew I had a problem. See, God knew I had a problem. Remembering he's major, I'm minor. We'll talk about my problem. Yours are coming later. Amen. Much later. And so we see the economic gloom became as a surprise to many of them. They thought that this was going to provide more paying jobs. But that hasn't been working. Amen. And as Robert Solow said, you can see the computer age everywhere, but in productivity statistics. You see it everywhere, but in the productivity statistics. 29 years later, it's still true. Technology has given us a dramatic increase in convenience, but not much progress toward ending poverty and hunger. The economist's bewilderment is reminiscent of something that happened to Israel after the exiles returned from captivity. The children of Israel honored themselves ahead of the Lord. They built their own homes, but not the temple. Through the prophet Haggai, you can read, the Lord said to them, "You have sown much, but harvest little. You eat, but there is not enough to be satisfied. You drink, but there is not enough to become drunk." Can't even get drunk on what you got. How many, everyone go out and get drunk? I know, I understand. How many know if we didn't have Jesus, we'd all be taking drugs? Can we keep it real? Jesus is my drug of choice. Somebody just put their prescription away. Amen. I'll probably need a couple of them after the service. I'll meet you out in the lobby right after the service. Hallelujah. Woo. Thank you, Jesus. I may know God is not advocating getting drunk here. He's just saying you ain't got enough to get drunk if you wanted to. Woo. We might as well laugh. We could cry, but let's laugh. Amen. He continues. Woo. Okay. You put on clothing, but no one is warm enough. And he who earns wages to put it into a purse or a bag with holes. Haggai 1:6. I mean, no, that's the world in 2016. Its purse has holes in it. I heard a preacher once say, he said, "Your bucket has holes in it." All right, thank you, Jesus. Good thing we can laugh in a time like this, isn't it? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So God is talking to the people and saying, hey, something ain't right here. Amen. He said there ought to be plenty for everyone, but not everyone has honored God. He hooks the plenty with honoring God. The people of planet Earth are in a deep cycle of working harder and earning less. The average worker, I just heard this last week, will earn $5,000 less per year than the workers before. I pray to God that changes. We need some changes in this country. And I'll tell you why they're trying to change it the way they're doing. They're trying to eliminate the middle class. You know why? Because socialism only has the elites and the poor. That's how you control. A few control everything at the top and control all the poor. That's why Bernie Sanders is so popular with so many people right now. Socialists, whoever thought in the world we'd ever have people going for a socialist, which is no more than a communist. Everybody wants something, and they're tired of all the people at the top getting everything. They're tired of the corruption and all of the cronyism, capitalism. Capitalism is good, but not the crony capitalism. And so the people are hungry. The masses are rising up. They're finishing college and can't get a job. We hear some report that it's the lowest unemployment rate, 4.75, first ever. That is smoke and mirrors, church. There is 94 million Americans out of work that quit looking for work. The unemployment rate is up to 17, 18, 19, 20% if you want to know the truth. They're lying to you. I said they're lying to us. This thing is scary, though, when people start embracing socialism. We have a generation that doesn't know about socialism. They don't know about the millions of people socialists kill. The Lord told me America's in trouble. How many know it's a good incentive for you to vote this year? $5,000 less. Something wrong with that picture. And the elites can't figure it out. Dana Forohar in Time magazine wrote this. She said, it's a paradox because though we know technology improves productivity, a greater productivity creates economic growth, we can't always measure the two working in tandem. Instead of being poised to reap the rewards of a technological windfall, the world is increasingly bracing for what might be yet another global recession in 2016. She continues, slowing growth in China, a flatlining Europe, plunging oil prices that are simultaneously decimating emerging markets and failing to provide the usual boost to richer countries, all of these things have added up to a perfect storm of global gloominess. I hate to tell you the truth, folks. I wish I could tell you everything is beautiful. I like the oil prices going down because the gas is cheaper. But I want to tell you, companies are going out of business right and left because it's got to stay at a certain rate for the fracking to go on and for what's going on. And instead of us coming into economic independence as far as oil, we've got a government that is suppressing that. Don't want the pipeline. The whole thing is to redo everything into a socialist state. The whole world, not just us, everything. Because there is a one world government mentality that is working overtime right now. God said it would be. Jesus said that would these end times would be like that. They aim to control the entire world. The economic system especially. Because you can control, if you're going to control money, you control people. And it's coming. I'm sure glad that God is not, his economic program is not on theirs. Huh? Honor the Lord, we're going to look at that. I'm so glad we're in the world, but not of the world. Amen. But it's coming. I said it's coming. We may be able to stave it off a little while, but it's coming. I hope we can. I said I hope we can. It's in the midst. They spoke about the world being in the midst of she continued on. She says, at Dallas, they speak a lot about the world being in the midst of a fourth industrial revolution. But this new revolution in technology is not expected to create jobs. Just the opposite. It will take away jobs. Certain kinds of labor will disappear in the coming years, and it is even now happening. It's ironic that when some McDonald's employees demanded their wages be doubled, they're actually fueling a new industrial revolution that leaves human workers out of the equation. Walmart raised the minimum wage. And they attribute the closing now of over 250 Walmart stores, 198 in America and worldwide, the rest of them, to that fact. They say they're closing so many restaurants in Seattle who also raise the minimum wage that you can't hardly count them. I may know the poor are in a catch-22. You're blank if you do and you're blank if you don't. That's the state of our world. Jesus said it would be that way. He said there'd be perilous times, there'd be no answer, because he's the answer. He's the answer. The Republicans are not the answer. The Democrats are not the answer. The independents are not the answer. The pastor is not the answer. Your employer is not the answer. Jesus is the answer. Hallelujah. And so we face an ironic situation. Yahoo laying off 1,700 employees and on and on and on. Machines can make fast food hamburgers, and they don't need rest. They do the same. They do it the same way every time. They don't need health care. They won't sue you if they slip and fall. And they become more cost effective every time wages go up. Again, that puts the poor in a catch-22. Oxfam's International report at Dallas said this, 62 people own the same as half the world. In other words, there are 62 people on this planet who have as much wealth as half of the world's population combined. 62 people own as much as 3.5 billion people. That is staggering. For the last 10 years, central banks around the world have been printing money hand over fist. Or as my dad used to say, hand over knuckle. He'd always tell me when I go to work, make money hand over knuckle. Amen. They wanted to jumpstart the economy of emerging markets, but the emerging markets have not yet emerged. Instead, the cunning rich have gotten richer, and the hapless poor have gotten poorer. The have and the have-nots is increasing. That's why socialism looks so appealing to the masses. Spread the wealth around. Robin Hood, take what you have and give to somebody else. Did you know that did not work when America was founded? Did you know they had to stop that they used that principle in the New World? But they found that when they did that, amen, what's yours is mine, that a bunch of freeloaders said, you work, I'll eat. How many know democracy in this republic has spent a higher living rate than any other culture, any other thing in the whole world at any other time? We have the highest living rate in the world. And you want to trash that? No, we need to get rid of the crony capitalism. Yeah, we do need to get rid of that. Amen. But you don't throw democracy away in the free market system. Are you hearing me? Just as the prophets predicted for the final days of this age. In Revelation chapter 6, 5 and 6, the Apostle John speaks on this in the seal of the black horse, where he says that a quarter wheat will cost a day's wages, yet the rich will still have everything they want and more. Honoring the Lord will determine our degree of prosperity and blessing. Honoring his word in the days ahead. The Bible says there's coming a time where they will see who's saved and who isn't, who's blessed and who isn't blessed, who serves the Lord and who doesn't serve the Lord. Not just who looks like they serve the Lord, but who actually serves the Lord. Uh-huh. And if you would, I want to close with your bulletin insert there, honoring the Lord. If you would, it says February. It's the strawberry pink one. We have a great prophetic word here from a great woman of God, Gwen R. Shaw. She's the president and founder of End Times Handmaiden Incorporated. A tremendous woman of God, as I shared. Been in China and the gospel, and just, I don't have time to tell you about her giving life. But from her devotional, this comes from her devotional called Gems of Wisdom, based on the book of Proverbs. Amen. And if we'll just follow along here, we'll, with your worksheet, I believe that you'll be impressed on how this honoring is so important in this day in which we live and in this culture and this economic time that we're in. Amen. The key to prosperity and blessing lies in giving to God. Proverbs 3, 9, and 10. We just read the first three verses, didn't we? They're right there on the sheet. You don't need to open them up. The Bible's right there. It says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty. Somebody shout plenty. I like good and plenty. Amen. And thy precious shall burst out with new wine. That's grape juice. Amen. Hallelujah. Got to be careful here. Don't get me started on that. Are you still with me? I don't know how you could be. This is the law of blessing, prosperity, and success. I may know there are laws that govern things. When you give to God and share with others from your goods, God says you release my hands so that I in turn can bless you and prosper you. Giving to me, the Lord says, is another way of worshiping me. Someone said that the word worship, the word work, has worship in it. Your work is worship. That's why the Bible says, do everything you do as unto the Lord. It's worship. I don't care what company, store, who you work for, it's worship. See it that way. Amen. Hallelujah. Giving to me is another way of worshiping me. Giving your time and part of your life to the even to the company store. You honor me when you give of your substance. It's nice to know that we can honor him, isn't it? This word honor in Hebrew is kabad, which is the same word used for glory. So when you give to me, you are actually glorifying me. Turn the page in case you fell asleep there for a second. Amen. Somebody fell asleep one time in the service and brother said, wake up. He said, I was just praying. So if they give you a hard time, you just tell them, I just prayed. Amen. And then ask God to forgive you for lying. Amen. trying to get you out of this. Amen. Glorify me. This opens you up. I like that. To a channel. Opens you up a channel whereby I can give glory and honor back to you. How many go, God wants to give honor and glory back to you? Let me say it again. He wants to give honor and glory back to you and back to me. Hallelujah. He doesn't need it. He's got all he needs. Good givers always have a special anointing of my glory resting upon their lives. What is glory? Moses said to the Lord, he said, show me your glory. What does the Bible say? He said, God hit him in the cleft of rock. He made all his goodness to pass before him. Woo! Glory, one part of glory is goodness. Hallelujah. Lord, God says, I want to give you glory, give goodness and honor back to you. Glory, special anointing, rest up in goodness. This proverb tells you of two ways in which you can give honor to me. One, somebody say one, is from your regular income, and we do that here. Amen. And the other, is from your first fruits. Amen. The first fruits are not limited to the first sheaf of the field that is ripe. It can also mean the first or the best part of your time. How many know that you have offered already a first fruits this morning? This is the first fruits of your week. God will bless the remaining 6 days and the rest of today with his glory and honor you because he says, he that honoreth me, I will honor him and her. Glory to God. And so by you honoring him, giving him the first fruits of your time, God says, I'll give you back more than you gave me. You bless me for an hour or two, I'm going to bless your whole week. Woo! And if you come on Wednesday night, you're going to get a double blessing. Hey! That was just a little spot for all that are missing some of the best that's ever come down the pike. Amen. On Wednesday night. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So it's not limited to just monies, but it can be your time, your talent, the best part. I may know the best part of your morning is to have a little time with God. First part of your day, maybe having to get up a little bit earlier, get something from God. If it's 2 minutes, however you do it on the way to work, whatever you have to do, get something. Amen. Give God the first fruits. I mean, if you don't give God the first fruits, the devil will give you some bad fruit. Come on, it's the truth. I found that if I don't get the first fruits in the morning, I get some stinky fruits from the devil before the afternoon. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I need a word from God. I need to check in with the heavenly CEO. How many have a CEO? How many work in a business? And you got to go to that CEO and find out what it is for that day. What do they want in this business? What do they want from me in this job? Come on. What people go to a job and never pay attention to the CEO? How many know you ain't going to be there too long? And you sure ain't going to have no goodness and glory. How many know these things work in the spiritual realm as well as they work in the physical realm, in the natural realm? I don't know why Christians think that things work different in the church and in the spiritual realm. And you think that they can violate the spiritual laws of prosperity and have goodness and glory on them. And they go through needless things, go through all kinds of things they don't have to go through. The devil steals a bunch of stuff, puts them through things they never have to go through. You know why? Because first fruits, listen to me. First fruits are dedicated to the Lord. Listen to what he says here. Oh, this is good. Somebody say, this is good. Yeah. Somebody say, oh, this is good. Yeah. They're not limited to that. The first fruits company of saints are those who develop and mature and produce first, ahead of the rest of the crop. Amen. The first fruits child opens the womb. Firstborn. How many firstborn we got in here? I'm one. I mean, no, you're looking at the responsible ones. Amen. Not that the rest of you are irresponsible. Don't take it that way. Most of your presidents and leaders are all firstborn. Most of your CEOs are firstborn. You know why? Because the firstborn catches everything in the family. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. And the baby. We won't talk about the middle one, but the baby. If you're a baby of the family, how many hated the baby of the family? little snot, got away with murder. How many lastborns we got in the house? Uh-oh, we got one over here. All right, all right, all right. There are personality traits. How many know babies can still be very responsible, but babies just want to have a good time. They don't care what's going on as long as we can have a good time. If we can't have a good time, forget it. Whew. Yeah. All right. That wasn't in the notes. I just threw it in there. Amen. Firstborn of man and beast belongs to me, God said, because I ordained this law of giving. As soon as that firstborn is dedicated to me, that act of honor and glorifying me releases the glory and the honor back to the giver. Look at that release. This act of honor and glorifying me and dedicating that which belongs to God, the first fruits. And in that glory and honor, there is provision for every need. There's provision for every need and more. He's not saying you won't have needs. He's not saying things won't happen. He's not saying the car won't break down. First fruits. You'll find in the Word of God, the first fruits belong to God. They're dedicated to God. And if you look throughout the Word of God, you'll find Achan and you'll find all those who took God's first fruits. Nothing good happened. Achan's whole family was destroyed because he took the first fruits. Now that's Old Testament, so thank God for mercy in the New Testament. Amen? I said, thank God for mercy. Hallelujah. But I'm telling you, the law still work. I said the law still work. And when we take the first fruits and we eat them, I had a little peach tree. And it was a little one. It's been a miniature. They didn't tell me it was a dwarf. They sold all the dwarfs, and I got one. Amen. Finally had a peach on it last year. I think it was a year before last. And I thought, well, that's a pretty good-looking peach. I ate that peach. You know, I ain't ever seen another peach since. And I had a feeling when I ate that. I thought, you know, I'd offer that to the Lord, you know. It wasn't very big. First fruits are important. Oh, Lord, help us. And you know, there's something about old split foot. Huh? Split foot, God is not released when we take the first fruits, but split foot takes advantage of it. And because the release is not there, see, everybody ties. How many know that? Everybody ties. Some ties to God, to his church, and the rest of them that don't ties to the mechanic more, the doctor more. The devil, the bank charges, bounce check. I've been there. Good God, I hate to tell you. And there's no return on it. Bank of America didn't give me nothing on that $200-something. I said, Lord, please help me. Because I've gotten into some places during my Christian life where I just couldn't pay the tithe, couldn't give God back what belonged to him. He said, that's mine. That's not yours, it's mine. And I said, God, I was so burdened one time, and man, things wasn't going too good, and I knew I was paying more than if I'd have paid the tithe. Come on. And I said, God, this is when I was building starters and generators, and I was all burdened about it, and I was getting behind her and more behind her, and 2 weeks, I got paid every 2 weeks, 2 weeks turned into four, and four turned into six, and six into eight, and I said, oh, man. And I was feeling burdened about it, and said, I don't know how I'm going to get this thing back on the track. And God come by my bench, my little rebuilding bench. He's so good. God is so good. He just came back. He saw my distress. He said, son, he said, you don't have to pay any of that back. He said, just start where you are. He says, I don't need your money. You're the one that needs the blessing. You're the one that needs to keep the devil out of your stuff. He says, just pick it up from where you are and trust me and prove me. And see if I won't make a way. Amen. God is so good. But the devil will mess with you. When I first started this, I did that. You know, I thought, okay, well, we're going to do this. Hallelujah. I did that, and I got blasted. Lord have mercy. You know what that was all about? That was the devil trying to back me off. Huh? I said, well, God, I did this and all that. I said, that's the devil. I'm allowing him to test you to see if you're really in this, if your heart's really in it, if you're really going to honor me, really going to obey me. I test everyone. I don't tempt you. I test you, though. Amen. Hallelujah. And so if you pass the test, hey, we move on. We don't pass the test, I may know we take the test again. And it always costs more the more times you take it. We learn some things, don't we, in our lives. When we give our first fruits, we are doing what God did in the beginning. Amen. The word first fruit in Hebrew is resheth. There in the concordance, it is the very first word in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. In the beginning. In the Hebrew Bible, the Holy Word of God begins with the word first fruits. And God's first fruits act was the creation of the world and all that is in it. God so loved that he gave. When we give our first fruits, we are doing what God did in the beginning. We are following his example, observing his law of prosperity, honor, and glory. And the promise is given to us. What is the promise? So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. What's the new wine? The new wine represents joy. Joy. I see a lot of joyless Christians. I wonder why. That may not be the sole purpose, because you can't blanket everybody and everything. Amen. I hate preachers that blanket everybody. Don't you? You don't hate me, do you? No. Okay. Not only will God bless us in a physical way, but we will be rich in the Word of God. And we will have so much wine of joy that we won't be able to keep it from bursting forth. Amen. Wow. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You're such a good God. God, you just want us blessed. These laws of prosperity and success and barns filled. And Lord, help us to keep honoring where we're honoring and forgive us where we haven't. Help us, Lord. I need help. Sometimes I just don't see the way. Everybody wants something from me. You ever felt that way? What about me? Anybody ever felt, what about me? Come on. Hey, you. Hey, God, being respectful, what about me? Joyce Myers likes to do that. She has a favorite thing. What about me? What about me? What about me? And God is saying, well, what about me? Remember I told you, you make it about him, he makes it about you. I make it about my wife, she makes it about me. She only makes it about me, she kills me. Amen. We've got to reciprocate this thing. We've got to get this thing. And I may know the Lord says, cast your bread on the waters after many days. It'll return to you. It starts coming back on every wave. You got to get it going, though. You got to get the cycle going. And the devil fights with it because he fights with your blessing. He fights with the blessing. We have a great church here. We have great people here. The percentage here of people that honor the Lord are the highest of any past church I've pastored in 40 years. This is my 40th year of senior pastoring. The percentage here is higher than any church probably in a lot of places. I always pray, Lord, give us 100% tithers. And boy, we're not there, but we're close. Or at least we could be. I know what the percentage is right now, but I thank God for what you're able to do and what you do. And I thank God for what you're learning to do and what you do regardless. I said regardless. I thank God for you. We're all in different stages. So we're not here to be judgmental or condemning. We're here to share the truth. The truth is what will make you free. The lie will keep you bound. The lie will keep you in trouble. The lie will keep you in a place where the devil keeps stealing from you. Keeps taking. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Stuff still happens, but it's better. It's better when we honor God. Hallelujah. And I guarantee you it doesn't happen as much as to those who don't honor him. I've been there. I told you. Hallelujah. Bank of America still got some of my money, and I want it back. Hallelujah. Let's have a word of prayer. Thank you, Jesus. Can we pray a short prayer? Amen. How many want a short prayer so we can get out of here? Let's say a short prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for blessing me. My life, my family. Thank you for all that you've given to me. Forgive me for any dishonoring of you, myself, or anyone else. My desire is to honor you, to serve you. Help me, Lord. I want these laws of prosperity and success. I want them working in my life more than ever before. In this culture, in this economic climate, I want the confidence to know that if I honor you, you have promised to honor me, that my barns would be filled and my presses would burst out, that I would have joy in the midst of it all. I thank you for making life worth living. I thank you life is to be a joy, not all trial and tribulation. I receive your goodness. I receive your glory. Open up the floodgates. Give me your faith through your word. Help me, Lord. Show me the way. Help me to have the faith to start somewhere. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Hallelujah. Let's stand together. God is good. That was the prayer I prayed in my study early this morning. Amen. Because I don't think any of us can stand in his presence and say we haven't. We want to honor him, but I'm sure we've all dishonored him at some point. How many would agree with that? Be humble enough to say, Lord, you know, I haven't always honored you. But I want to honor you. My heart wants to honor you. And I love you, Lord. I know you love the Lord. You wouldn't be here this morning. So, Lord, now I pray your blessing upon each and every one. I pray this law of blessing, Father, as we launch out into the deep, go a little deeper and let down our nets for a big catch. Lord, we're not just doing it so what we can get, but we're doing it because we want to give you honor and glory and thanksgiving. And Father, we thank you in all the little ways and the big ways that you bless us. Fill every net here this morning. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he bless your children. May he bless the work of your hands. May he bless you emotionally, mentally, financially, spiritually, in every way, maritally, if you're married. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Somebody just freaked on that. Lord, help them. Right now. Jesus' name. That wasn't you. I'm not talking to you. Amen. Hallelujah. I love you and God loves you. Now, Lord, make that blessing flow as far as the curse is found. We're praying blessing right now. Say, I'm receiving blessing. Lift your hand up to God. Say, God, I receive your glory. I receive your goodness. I receive your prosperity. Thank you, Lord, for the laws of prosperity. I've learned them today. I either knew them or I just learned them. Thank you for helping me obey and honor you. Prove you, Lord. Let your countenance be raised upon me. Smile on my life and give me peace. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you. Happy Super Bowl Sunday. I love you. God love you and God bless you.